8:48 past the hour. Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Anticipating what procedures and medicines work and don't work before illness or injury treatments start can save lives. It can also reduce pain and suffering and lower the cost of health care. Sriram Vishnavath is a professor at the University of Texas Austin in the Cockrell School of Engineering and co-founder and CEO of Accordion Health. He tells Federal News Radio's Lauren Larson how healthcare providers are beginning to understand all of the benefits predictive analytics can bring.
Currently, we are doing very rudimentary things in healthcare. We are understanding the base level of what can or cannot be done. And there's a long way to go. There's a lot more to be done in healthcare that would be of value, of impact for people. As I was saying, there's two camps. There's one camp that's the traditional data scientist who comes in and says, oh, I'm going to solve everything. I'm going to make healthcare as predictable as buying behavior of people. And that's never going to be the case because healthcare has so many more variables, so many more things that are subjective that are very dependent on the lives of individual people that cannot be so easily captured as to solve it completely. But there's the other camp, which is the traditional healthcare camp that says, hey, analytics can't help us. We've tried it. It fails. I tried this solution. It gave me the wrong answer. I tried that solution. It gave me the wrong answer. So I'm going to give up. And that attitude is also dangerous because I understand that the solutions out there that don't work, that doesn't mean that every solution doesn't work. Don't just give up and saying analytics is useless. Analytics is tremendously valuable as long as it's done correctly. It's done with intelligently. It's done carefully. It's done in a focused manner. And so I believe there's a happy medium. I believe there's an answer where we take on topics, focus in on them, solve them in the best manner possible. You're never going to predict 100%. That's not possible. If I could predict 100%, I'd be a very rich man today because I predict the stock price tomorrow. You can't predict 100% ever. You do your best. You do whatever you can in a manner that is informative, is medically meaningful, is carefully thought out. And when you do that and you work with, not against, work with the medical establishment, you work with physicians at hospitals, with payers and associated services, you can actually add tremendous value in predicting people's costs and outcomes. You can make their lives much easier. And so I believe between the two camps, there is a very happy medium that would still go into healthcare, which is a $3+ trillion business, and save money for the average person on the street, for me, for you, and would make our overall outcomes much better. Post-surgery, as we grow older, it will make our lives much less stressful in terms of healthcare if we can predict what trajectory we're going to be on.
I think in your article you mentioned cardiac arrest versus a knee replacement. So what kind of things should they be predicting and what kind of things are not so easy to predict?
Very good question. There are certain things that are much more contained in that with data, you can not just predict them better, but make them more actionable once predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, complications in a knee replacement surgery are not just more predictable in that there's a the pattern to them is so much easier to analyze. But also, once you find out something is going to happen, it's much more actionable because you can go in there and say, oh, this person is going to have this type of complication. Let's do something to be preventative to help them. While predicting, say, a lymphoma in cancer is much, much harder, not only from a prediction task, there's so many variables involved, but also, let's say you even manage to predict it, the actionability in terms of what the person should be doing, you know, in some cases it could literally lead to panic. The actionability is very subjective in some cases, you know, everything from cardiac arrest and so on. So in every case, there is something that's actionable. It has to be very well thought out. Once you can predict correctly, you can make everything actionable. It has to be, in some cases, much more carefully understood and thought out on what you can do other than just, you know, say, oh, you're going to have something bad happen. You have to take it down from this is likely what's bad that's going to happen to what can you do about it? What can I do to help you, the individual who's going to suffer, do something that would either completely prevent it, ideally, or at least mitigate it to the extent possible? So that actionability is as important, if not more important, than actually predicting what's going to happen. And so in some cases, you can not just predict more accurately, you can also make it way more actionable. to say, here is one or two things you as a person, you as a physician, you as an establishment can do to help this person in the case of a complication, in the case of a untoward outcome. While in some other cases, the prediction task is very, very hard. But if you manage to predict, the ability to do something about it is, has to be much more carefully analyzed in a way that's most beneficial to that particular person.
If you were, for say, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, what are the data sets in general that would help you to do the most meaningful predictive analytics?
Great question. So the data sets that help in prediction are very varied. There's a lot of them. And over time, the access to these in a very controlled manner, meaning we have to respect and make sure we respect every individual's privacy and the right to ensure that there's nothing about them that's available that would in any way cause them worry or harm. But given that we make sure we very respectfully do this, to have access to data sets that include billing, which is claims records, lab data, prescription data, clinical data, as well as people's other socioeconomic and behavioral data, including what they consume, where they travel, how their buying behavior is outside of healthcare. Today, for most population health toolkits, people are little ants on a street. They look at aggregates. They look at how a nameless person A versus nameless person B does on an aggregate level, mm-hmm. at a macro level. And that is the wrong mindset when it comes to healthcare. You have to do healthcare on a personalized level. This is the healthcare for me. This is the healthcare for you. And it has to understand you. It has to be something that's tailored to you. So population health has to become personalized health. And the reason it has to become personalized health is, in fact, in most healthcare systems throughout the world, but definitely in the U.S., there's about 3 to 5% of the people who drive most of the costs, most of the costs of care, most of the utilization patterns of care. And so saying that this is generally true for a population that lives in Texas versus California versus New York versus somewhere else, it's valuable, yes, but that doesn't necessarily help you, me, or another person get healthy. It's just a general statistic of what's going on in that region. What we need to really spend our energies on is that person who's healthy today and is going to be chronically sick tomorrow, how do I help him or her? How do I understand what are the driving factors for him or her and personalize it to him or her in a manner that will help them avoid, in the first place, getting chronically ill, or if they are chronically ill, reduce the pain, reduce the suffering, reduce the utilization, reduce the cost for them. And then, fortunately, it's only about 3 to 5%, but understanding who that 3 to 5% of the population are and understanding what you can do for them proactively is the most important thing in healthcare. So if you can do that, that's when you can solve the problems of our healthcare system.
And then you talk about population, you know, being half the equation. How do you factor in the physicians and the facilities to complete that picture?
Great question. So most people think of health as the health of an individual patient. And I only wish that were true. Unfortunately, the health system, the health plan, the physician involved, the entire people around that physician, the other services, the nurse, the PA, the actual facility you end up in, plays such a humongous role. It's such a huge role in healthcare that abstracting them out, that saying, oh, this particular patient, wherever they go, will fall sick. That's not the case. It really is dependent on who their primary care physician is. It's dependent on who their specialist is. It's dependent on which facility they get operated at. It's dependent on who the nurse is who's responsible for follow-ups. It's extremely dependent on all the different people, the different touch points in the healthcare life cycle. And so the extreme focus on these are the people who are going to fall sick just explains, actually, in my opinion, less than half the equation. The other major half, more than half, is the other people who are responsible for the care of this person. It's in the hands of the physician. The physician picks the route of care, which means what they're going to do. They also pick appropriateness, which is when is it appropriate for this person to undergo a major medical event, such as a surgery. And it's in the physician's hands. It's not in the patient's hands. And so understanding how the entire healthcare ecosystem, the physician, the facility, the nurse, impact the care of that individual is more than half of understanding what's going to happen to this patient once they undergo the medical event, once they undergo surgery, once they undergo a particular procedure. And so a lot of people are missing that equation. They abstract out. They say, oh, this person just goes to a physician. The question is not a physician. Who's that physician? Mm-hmm. The question is not a facility. It's which facility is it? Which hospital is it? Which clinic is it? And that will help us understand much better what happens to that particular patient. To make it a little more concrete, a physician can take a very sick patient and make them healthy, and we've seen that, and we're very grateful for that. But unfortunately, a physician can take a healthy patient and make them sick. Mm-hmm. And therefore, understanding who that physician is and where that physician goes to take care of this particular patient is very important.
Should federal agencies involved in healthcare have a data officer, and is that enough?
What I can definitely tell you is it would be beneficial to emphasize that even more than it is done today. I think over the past decade, we have emphasized data in healthcare a lot more than we ever have before, mm-hmm. and I'm very glad and I'm very excited by that. But I think in the next coming decade, we need to put a lot more energy on data. We have to zone in on being objective versus subjective to the extent possible to understand what the data is telling us and do so without bias. One of the biggest issues I find in healthcare is bias is all pervasive. It's people read it with different lenses put on their eyes, and to the extent we can remove those lenses and see what data, raw data, is telling us and what type of information presenting us without putting that lens on, the better it is, and we need to emphasize that even more. So I don't know enough about what federal mm-hmm. agencies currently already do, but what I can tell you is it's not enough. There is a lot more to be done from a data perspective going forward.
What are some of the big advances that you've seen, and what do you see as the future? What's within our grasp that data can help us achieve?
What I see as the future is an extremely exciting future, and I'm inherently an optimist, so I believe things will change for the better, because especially in healthcare, there is so much that goes wrong that if you're not an optimist, you will wallow in unhappiness all your life. So you really have to, when it comes to healthcare, look at things as a glass half full and understand that there's going to be a future that's going to be much better than it is today. And from that perspective, I see a very exciting future. I see personalized healthcare happening in the U.S., and U.S. being the leader in that. Our country going way beyond where the other countries are in terms of developing personalized healthcare. I believe there'll be a Google for healthcare. I believe there'll be a resource that'll understand on a personalized level the best thing. Just like today Google understands you, if you've been using Google quite a bit like me, understands your shopping needs, understands your personalized needs from a search and purchasing perspective very well, I believe in the future there'll be a similar engine for healthcare. And I believe it'll help each one of us make better decisions when it comes to everything holistically, when it comes to everything from diet to exercise to lifestyle to who we go see when we have a problem, to which facility, which procedure we undergo. There will be a process that is beneficial to each one of us through our lives, as we have our children, as we age, that'll help us make better decisions. And I see that future coming, and it's going to happen in the next decade.